Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of November, and I'm recording at 9:35 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, I'm looking at a sea of green when I turn to my screen and check out those stock markets, and well, this is certainly more of the Trump rally. Will it be the Trump bull market if he gets all those spending plans through? And I don't see why he won't get them all through. All those stimulative programs, tax cuts, bringing money back in from overseas, reassessing the whole U.S., simplifying the whole U.S. tax structure. And basically gunning the economy with huge infrastructure spending, that will certainly be a bright comet if he's able to do that. And who knows, we may be one day telling our children about the Trump bull market. Who would have thought that? Now, starting with the Asia-Pacific region, well, they're all higher. Here, the best gain, interestingly, is the China Enterprise Shares Index. That's up nearly 2.2%. But again, solid performance all around. Then, when I look at the European markets, they're all modestly higher. Best gain, actually, is Italy, up 1.37%. The other gains are much, much smaller, mostly under half a percentage point. UK, not too bad, two-thirds of a percentage point higher. The only red there is Switzerland. I'm not sure what happened there today, but that's down 1.38%, so obviously there's got to be some news relating to that. Apologies for not having found out that during a busy day. Now, in the Americas, again, more green on the screens. And I'm looking at Mexico and Brazil, both showing solid gains. So Mexico starting to recover from its Trump trauma. And Wall Street, not big percentages, but another solid gain across the boards. And, you know, we've got the Russell 2000. I mentioned that yesterday, of course. Worth spending a little more time on this because the Russell 2000, that's smaller cap shares, it had gone sideways for 2¾ years. And since Trump was elected president, that is just blasted straight up, well into new high grounds, no hesitation about it whatsoever. Yes, it's a little overbought in the short term, but at this stage, I wouldn't be looking for more than a consolidation. Now, to take some of these other indices in here as well, the Dow, another new high, same with the S&P. The NASDAQ Composite Index also pushed to a new all-time high. Now, NASDAQ, two NASDAQ indices usually lead, but there were concerns about a tough line taken by that Trump's taking on trade, not least with the Pacific region, and also some concern over the strength of the dollar. And that then there were Trump's comments really on Amazon and how it was putting a lot of companies out of business and was in danger of some antitrust action. Well, that spooked the NASDAQ shares for a while. They're still underperforming over the short term, but as I say, that NASDAQ Composite Index, which also has a lot of smaller companies in it, that hit a new all-time high in here today. And the NASDAQ 100 index, those are the biggies, that's just one decent day away from a new all-time high. The only index that's lower that I'm aware of on Wall Street is the utilities. And that's related to the bonds. That moves in line with the government bonds. What's fueling this rally? Well, you can bet that a chunk of money, in terms of billions, has come out of that bond market as it has not only underperformed, but produced those big upward dynamics in terms of yields. And that has led to a shift away from government bonds, big widespread reassessment. Everybody was saying, no, nothing's ever going to happen. We're going to have no growth and no inflation and only deflation and disinflation in perpetuity. Well, that's, those consensus views, groupthink, another way to express it, is usually wrong. And it's certainly wrong in terms of Trump's economic policies that we're actually seeing. And that will cause reverberation, is causing reverberations around the world. But it's more bullish than bearish for other markets, that's for sure. Now, is there a fly in the ointment? There always is, and the dollar index, well, it's down a little bit today, but it's at 101.030. So it's holding that break. That's the important thing. It's holding that break up above the 100 level and getting a little bit of consolidation in here. Is the U.S. Treasury and the Fed perhaps doing a little bit of intervention? It's possible, but I'd be surprised. I've said earlier on that it would make much more sense. They don't want to stand in front of a freight train and let it run up higher and then perhaps come in when it's looking a little more, when it's looking overextended here overall. Now, just going back to stock markets for a minute, what's a hot sector? It's mining shares. They're doing extremely well. Precious metals had a good start to the day, but then they've given up quite a bit of it. Not all. Platinum and particularly palladium are doing reasonably well, although platinum's given up two-thirds of its gains. It's up over $5 here right now at 941.7. Gold has returned to the minus side. It's $9 off its high at $1,212. So again, I think they're a little bit spooked here about what's happening with the dollar index. Then really, India has not been doing the massive buying that it usually does at this time of year. So that's another factor that is changing sentiment somewhat. But, you know, it's a global beauty contest, and people are looking at what's performing, and the precious metals aren't performing right now. They're not expensive. I actually think they're quite cheap. And I don't think they'll do it all badly over the next year or two, but it's been a hairy ride, hasn't it? And I'm happy to stand on the sidelines here. I don't need that type of volatility and leverage positions. Okay, elsewhere, interesting thing. Now, crude oil, which of course had a good recovery, not getting back up to test its recovery highs here because investors are a little bit wary of this talkathon here that we get from the Middle East, trying to talk it up and then not doing anything. And so you'd be forgiven for being a cynic about whether they will come to an agreement on any kind of substantial cut. But they're in trouble if they don't, I'll put it that way. So they're going to have to do that at one stage or other, I suspect. And the only thing that would prevent that would be a massive loss of production capacity by other means. I'll leave that to your imagination. Hopefully that doesn't actually happen. But we had a little bit of divergence in here today. The WTI crude is actually down 31 cents as I speak at 47.92. And the Brent, though, is up 12 cents at 49.02. Why might, well, it's only a small divergence, but the only factors I can think of is that the U.S., there's been a lot in the press recently, as you will probably be well aware, about the shale discoveries and the ability of these shale drillers to produce ever more efficiently, and the fact that the last time oil rallied up, got up to around the $55 level, they went in and hedged well into the future. So that, in other words, locking in those higher prices. And so, you know, they're in profitable business, and they can produce, what, 7, 8, 9 million barrels a day in here, depending on how aggressive they actually want to be. That's why all this talk about crude oil going back up to $180, $200 is rubbish, in my opinion. Now, another interesting story here, somewhat scary, and I'll read the headline. This is a direct quote from Bloomberg. $100 billion Chinese-made city near Singapore scares the hell out of everybody. it's absolutely massive. And so what's going on here? Well, obviously that Chinese economy was not doing very well. And that also puts, talk about frightening people. It certainly frightens the communist leaders. And Xi Jinping, above all else, knows that he's got to be able to deliver. And if the consumer economy, and China's consumer economy is not doing badly overall, so I'm not being critical of China in here, but the switch really from metal bashing to a consumer-led economy is not something that you can pull off without some sort of disruptions and reactions and so on. But anyway, Xi Jinping clearly is going for a major reflation in here. We've known about reflationary efforts for a couple of months here now, and that's evident in the stock market, which has been creeping higher. And they've also been letting their currency weaken, which makes them a bit more competitive. But I had not appreciated the extent of this property building that's actually taking place. There's a terrific article from Bloomberg, say, that I'm posting, and I commend that to you because it's very, very informative to see all of that, and somewhat alarming. I just hope they don't have to pave the whole planet, really, to get China's GDP growth back. But more relevant, copper. When they're building just these huge skyscrapers, you know a lot of copper is going to be used, a lot of other building materials as well, but it's copper that's benefiting the most in here. I think it's up a quarter from its year-end level, roughly speaking. It was strong yesterday. It's strong in here again today, 254.35 cents. And I think, you know, it's subject only to some consolidation of its very strong gains. But this is a good bull market here in industrial shares. Now, we knew that. We knew that from the beginning of the year because stock markets were falling out of bed all around the world, not least Wall Street at the beginning of the year. And we saw a number of cyclical bear trends. That's a decline of over 20%, mostly in emerging markets. But these metals have been recovering, and I think that China's reflationary efforts—that's the big story. I mean, there's been a lot of publicity regarding Trump's fiscal spending, but that's the dessert. The big issue here, the big feast here, is China's demand for these industrial commodities. So I think that's making. I like that sector, and I'm certainly going to remain long in that sector. And I think it's this is going to continue here and be one of the better bull runs. And also, the miners have been reasonably sensible about cutting production, and that is obviously helping. Okay, anything else in terms of currencies? Well, I mentioned the dollar index, of course. Sterling's a little lower, but not as it's at 1.2420. Euro fractionally lower. Not much going on in the currencies here today. So, on that note, I'll say, government bonds. Government bonds quiet in here. They had a big sell-off. Now they're a little bit of a pause in here. But I think you'll see further weakness before the year end and carrying into the new year in terms of treasury prices, which of course means that yields are going up. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.